He has vampirized his own mother.
So tedious every week.
I know, the same thing. It's like, you think these people don't know who we are by now? If they downloaded this, they probably have some kind of a clue. Well, since Steve is convinced our audience is made up of cretins.
Right. I'm Richard Roper.
That's true. And
Gene
I'm
Shalit.
Roger Ebert.
Oh.
And
Gene Shalit is producer.
And Gene Shalit is our producer. And I don't suppose he's going to accept that as being an introduction. I'm Ken Hankey from the Mountain Express.
I'm Justin Souther from the Mountain Express.
We're both from the Mountain Express.
We just said that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We can deduce.
I know. I'm just making it clear.
Put one and one together.
Listeners really are as dumb as Steve thinks they are. And together we are Elitist Bastards, and we've been to the movies, and we are coming to you more or less live from the bar.
What?
The Cinema Lounge.
Not you coming live. Recorded.
Well, we were live when we did it.
It's true.
All right. Well, then I don't see what you're complaining about. This is a recording of live people.
Most recordings aren't.
You never know.
Unless you record a TV show.
Well.
Record Three's Company.
I'd rather not.
Thought so.
All right. All right. You want to get on with this and tell them where we are?
Yes.
Where are we?
The Cinema Lounge, Carolina, Asheville.
That's on Hendersonville Road, is it not?
Uh-huh.
I thought so.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's...
That's how I got here.
The address is Hendersonville Road, but it's like Peachtree Road or something.
It's in that little path that leads up to Nettlewood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But nobody knows
But nobody knows what that is. If we said it was on the path that leads to Nettlewood, they would have no clue where we were. So we won't tell them that.
The path to Nettlewood.
Path to Nettlewood, yes.
Led Zeppelin song?
I believe so, yes. And I think that's the battle of never...
no.
Wood or something, but I'm not.
Are you saying Led Zeppelin did not write songs about South Asheville?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to think about it, but yes.
Anyway.
All right, we've been to the movies, for God's sake. Let's get on with it.
Fine. What have you watched, Ken? We'll let you start.
Let me start?
Yes.
Alphabetically, you should start, but okay. What did I watch? Well, I watched Beastly. It most certainly was. It was grim. It was stupid. CBS Films is batting 1,000 for movies that should never have gotten released. It belongs on television. Their head is firmly up the ass of their cathode ray tube.
TVs have asses?
They do now.
I thought they were vaginas and
stomachs. CBS
they have their head in
CBS
their...
has an ass. And they
have heads
and these movies fall out of it. It's just bad. It's Beauty and the Beast for hormonal girls.
Hormonal girls need movies? You were once a hormonal
not that
girl.
I was not.
You're close enough.
Well, as near as you can come, perhaps, but... Now you're making our producer laugh.
As long as
that's never
Steve
a good
is
sign.
Entertained. You it's know. All.
See, is that
the smile
this is,
on a child's face?
This is what this really is for: is to entertain Steve.
Yes. Because we know he listens to it. We don't.
That's
know
true. We don't
else
know
does.
About any of the rest of you. You know, we know Steve has to listen to it because he has to cut it down to make it more or less coherent. Yeah. Anyway, Beastly is bad. Don't go. So, what have you seen? We go back and forth.
Okay. We often do.
Well, shouldn't tell people
I saw Take Me Home tonight, which is extraordinarily generic rom-com / coming-of-age film set in the 80s for some reason. I don't know why it was set in the 80s besides the idea that people still
like
have
80s
nostalgia, which I'm not sure they... Is it time for 90s nostalgia?
Yes.
Okay.
And that'll be interesting.
It'll be Hypercolor shirts and Ace of Base. Nevertheless, we're stuck with this predictable movie that's, for what it is, isn't bad. I never was annoyed with it or really even bored. You have to kind of overcome the idea that Topher Grace is in his 20s.
Yeah, I would have trouble with that. But then again, I spend most Topher Grace movies wondering how he shaves around that growth on his face.
His nose?
Yeah.
Probably with a razor. What growth?
Yeah, thing.
I think you're thinking of Sarah Jurassic Parker.
Well, yes, she definitely had a growth. And she apparently
might be more manly.
She presumably did not have to shave, but I'm not taking money on that.
Okay. But, I mean, it's fine. It helps that... I mean, there's a handful of sex gags and drug humor.
I suppose that's better than a handful of sex.
It makes you gag, probably not, but...
Oh, no, probably not.
The fact that the movie's mostly built around actual characters, as stock as they are, I mean, there's nothing new to any of the movie, but, I mean, it's fine.
Anna Faris and Topher Grace are twins.
Supposedly. I mean, everybody plays off each other well enough, or it's not really. I mean, it's a stupid movie. Who cares? It's fine.
Well,
it's completely
let's face
bombed.
It has bombed.
Yes.
It has bombed worse than Drive Angry 3D bombed.
Right.
So.
Well, you can buy the Nicolas Cage's Escape from Hell in a Buick, but. Not that Topher Grace and Anna Faris are twins?
No.
No?
No,
okay.
But I can buy the Nicolas Cage would escape from hell on a Buick Riviera, yeah.
Okay. As long as we're straight on that.
Well, okay.
Maybe there's a prequel where they explain that it's they escape from hell.
They escape from their mother's vagina on a Buick Riviera.
Yes. Now, there's a movie.
It's certainly an image.
Yeah, so it was fine. Whatever.
Yeah, okay. It was fine. It was fine, he says.
If you've got, I don't know, there's worse things. It's harmless.
Yeah, I'm sure. Beastly is probably one of them.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's pleasant enough.
And I suspect by the end of this week, I'll find something else and throw in there.
There's a handful of good jokes in it. I mean, it's...
And a handful of sex.
Pretty much. So, it's fine.
Okay.
It's more... self-aware of the 80s, then it's more like playing off of our idea of the 80s. I don't think the 80s
but without
were
the big cell phones.
No, there was no 80s jokes in it.
Okay.
Besides cocaine use, like that seems to be the only
I have news for you. I think it's still being used.
I know, but okay. It's such like a synonymous with the 80s, I think. But I mean, it's I don't think the 80s were that aware of how stupid they were.
Yeah, the time that they were being
right.
Stupid, you mean. I certainly was aware of it.
You're a special case,
that's
Ken.
True. I mean, I was aware
you
of the 80s.
You think every decade's
stupid.
So.
Not entirely, no. Every decade has its share of stupidity, but the 50s and the 80s seem to be real standouts.
Okay.
Rango was one of the great surprises of... the movie-going year. It's the first movie that I don't have to make any sort of qualifications, except that you have to like things that are kind of weird. Anyway, I mean, it's an animated film. It's not in 3D. That's a big plus right there. It has excellent voice work in it. It's very movie savvy, but it does not necessarily. You don't have to catch all the references. Because they're not just references, they're actually interwoven into the plot. It's funnier if you do understand that this is basically an animated, desertized version of Chinatown. But you don't need to know it. You don't need to be able to spot, oh, that's a reference to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It's still, the stuff is funny without it. So far, it's the best movie of the year, which I realize that doesn't say much because the movies this year, except for Drive Angry 3D, have pretty much blown goats. But This is very, very good, and I would like to see it do better than it. I mean, yeah, it took the weekend box office, but the weekend box office was not that hard to take. I would like to see it actually continue to do well, and I'm just afraid that maybe it's too weird to do that. Some of it is visually stunning. Bill Nye's Rattlesnake Jake is a wonderful villain, to the degree that he is a villain, and in fact he's kind of scary. Go see Rango. You won't regret it. And if you do regret it, there's something wrong with you. All right, your turn.
For what?
The Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, do you want to know about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me about this movie that I almost might want to kind of sort of go see.
It's based on a Philip K. Dick story, which...
Oh, here we go again with the Dick references.
Grow up, Ken. Come on.
Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, it's based on a Philip K. Dick story, which usually means the movie's going to be awful if you take a look at stuff like Next or...
Next was enjoyable crap.
Was it? I don't know. It was Nicolas Cage in a wig. I just think it was bad.
Next was enjoyable crap. Okay. I'm one of the few people that didn't mind Payback or whatever the hell it was called. Paycheck, whatever.
Paycheck.
Yeah, okay.
I just remember it being too American John Woo for my taste, and it's just sort of...
I didn't say it was good. I just didn't remember minding it. Now, Scanner Darkly, I minded.
Right.
I minded that like a son of a bitch. So.
I don't know how you feel about Blade Runner. Total Recall.
It's okay. Blade Runner's okay. Total Recall, I don't remember enough of to have an opinion on.
But at the same time, these stories, or the movies rather, rarely ever have much to do with the actual story. They seem to just take.
And neither does this one, does it?
It's got the same general concept.
Okay.
But beyond that, they're not similar in really any fashion. With the concept being that there's this big, sort of bloated bureaucracy that makes sure that everything, fate is going, and destiny, and everything is going according to plan.
You're kind of like the Uber Calvinists.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So.
This is a supernatural agency?
Yes.
Okay.
We're told that they're basically what we would consider angels, and then the person that's making this plan is basically God.
I've always heard that Terrence Stamp was a real nice guy, but I've never heard him called an angel.
Right. Well, they're not exactly nice. I mean, they're just doing their jobs, I guess. But basically, it's Matt Damon, who's running for Senate, meets Emily Blunt.
Who is not running for Senate?
No. Okay. Meets her in a men's room, makes out with her, and is inspired to give this great speech that, even though he loses his election bid.
Wait, time, stop, drag. Yes. Wait a minute. He runs into her in a men's room?
And she had crashed a wedding. And she was hiding from security in the men's room.
In the men's room, okay. Makes sense. That wouldn't draw attention.
And then years later, he runs into her again on the bus, but it turns out he wasn't supposed to, because one of these guys, these agents, was supposed to make him spill coffee on himself before he could get on this bus.
Somebody screwed up.
Yes.
Sounds
so
very,
because of this...
This is kind of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, but okay.
Well, because of this, he finds that he uncovers on accident that these people exist and what they're doing.
I see.
And it's basically, they basically just tell him he can't ever tell anyone, or his mind will be erased. But at the same time, he falls in love with Emily Blunt, and he also learns he's not ever supposed to talk to her again for the same reasons. And so it's the idea of, what's good about it is it's a science fiction film about ideas and concepts, not so much...
It's not about shit blowing up.
Right.
Okay.
So, and it's good on that level. It's fairly intelligent. It's not too complicated. point you can't follow it. But the biggest thing is how much you can buy into what it's trying to sell you, because it is sort of sometimes awkward premise. It never gets too religious, but...
Do we get to meet God?
No.
Darn.
Which is part of the problem. You think you might at the end. You never quite, but the end sort of... I don't know how else you would end it, but it never really
pans out. Well, I wanted to meet God, and now I'm kind of disappointed.
It's Morgan Freeman, Ken. Don't be silly.
Well, there are worse choices, I suppose.
But it's an interesting film. I'm not saying it's great, but...
Well, let's stack it up against most of the crap that's come out since the first of the year.
I'm sure when Battle Los Angeles comes out, it'll look
even better.
Yes. Where's the Thursday Horror Picture Show, Ken?
The Thursday Horror Picture Show.
Let's not forget
that. And that's on Thursday, right?
I guess.
At 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe it's in the Cinema Lounge here.
It better be.
At the Carolina, which is still on Hendersonville Road.
Yes.
Okay. And this Thursday we are showing The Brides of Dracula, a Hammer horror picture, in which they wisely don't have Christopher Lee. It's a funny thing, but their two best vampire pictures, this one and Kiss of the Vampire, don't have Christopher Lee. Now, how do you account for that? Yeah. Well,
apparently you don't like Christopher Lee.
He's not really... I mean, he made some kind of weird impact as Dracula, but he's really doesn't do a whole lot more than... He's a tall prop.
So who plays Dracula in this?
Dracula, we have allowed Dracula to remain dead.
Okay.
And instead we have Nancy Boy Dracula, Baron Meinster, who maybe he's the bride of Dracula, because it's not clear on who the brides of Dracula are.
So there are no brides of Dracula?
Well, there are. You know, I mean, I'm sure the title appealed to Hammer, because they could, you know, come up with a poster that had bosomy girls in nightgowns. And that's, of course, what they did.
They'd probably do that anyway.
Yeah, they probably would have. But, I mean, this is, you know, gives them some sort of an excuse. And, I mean, it's actually a pretty good film. It's one of the more solid vampire pictures. And it's one of the more interesting ones in that Baron Meinster appears to have become a vampire through being a sexual degenerate and a hedonist. He doesn't appear to have been bitten, but this is not made clear. Maybe he was Dracula's bitch. That's just also not
STD
made clear. What?
Sexually transmitted
vampirism? Sexually transmitted vampirism, yes.
Okay.
And ultimately he drinks his own mother's blood. I mean, the whole thing is very Eugene O'Neill, Tennessee Williams sort of thing. So, you know, but it's worth seeing. And I expect the audience will like it. And the only thing that I think they will find a downside is I don't believe anybody gets slapped in this one. And our audience...
Well, I can slap you.
Our audiences do appear to enjoy seeing characters in movies get slapped.
Imagine if it happens in real life.
You want to try it on Thursday and see?
Yeah, I can slap you. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't.
And what's Asheville Film Society this week?
That's on
Where
Tuesday.
Where is it? Yes.
It's on Tuesday. And it is also, this is just amazing how this works. This is also in the Cinema Lounge.
It's almost like we never leave here.
You know, it's like we live in the Cinema Lounge. What a depressing thought. I'd spend 24 hours a day smelling popcorn.
Like you haven't before.
That's true. And this week we are having Pedro Almodovar's Talk to Her. Which, now, granted, there are Almodovar films that are rated NC-17. And this one is rated R.
Not only are they rated NC-17, but they're NC-17 because of nonstop man sex.
No, only one of them. Nonstop man-on-man sex, yes.
Nonstop.
At least that's what some poor woman from Hendersonville once said.
Nonstop.
Nonstop.
Constant.
She saw a more Rudy Tootie film than I ever did. Anyway. This one, however, even though it got an R, might be
Is there nonstop sex between men?
No, there's not nonstop sex, but it is essentially the love story between a man and a comatose woman. So,
like Kill Bill.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, he actually thinks that this is a relationship he has. And in fact, when it is pointed out that in most relationships, one of the people is not in a coma, he points out that it seems to him that the only difference is that they get along better than most couples. So, you know, it's a... And the weird thing is this all ends up being sympathetic. It's also a movie that stops dead for a black and white silent short movie that involves a man who keeps growing so small that he ultimately disappears by walking in to his wife's vagina. And yes, this is actually shown. This is not your average movie. And I recommend it highly.
We have three films this week, right?
Yes, there were going to be four. And if there had been four, we'd have really had something to talk about because we have something really good to talk about. We'll talk about that next week. But this week we get...
Battle Los Angeles.
That's right, Battle Los Angeles.
Battle colon.
That's right.
Los Angeles. Well, which features stupid aliens. Why? We were talking about this earlier. If you're going to invade a planet for resources, why attack the one with stupid, violent people on it?
Who have already sucked down most of the resources that you could possibly get out of this thing.
And why go attack one of the largest urban areas on that? Like, why wouldn't you just go to, like, Podunk, Nebraska?
Well, because, here's the thing. A poster saying Battle Los Angeles works.
A poster
saying Battle Bumfuck Egypt isn't going to sell a ticket.
I would go see it.
Well, you probably would. Or, you know, Battle Two Humps Idaho. I mean, this is not...
Almost
everybody wants to see Los Angeles destroyed. And that part is understandable. Except for the film memorabilia and the actual motion pictures that are there. And a couple people I know. But other than that, you know...
Let's hope the aliens are fans of film.
That's true. Maybe they're film preservationists.
They've come to
Alien film preservationists. I'm starting to have an idea for a movie here. Anyway, that's one of the movies that's opening.
Taking them back by force.
That's right.
Restore them.
And aside from that one, what do we have? We have further intergalactic hijinks.
Oh. Mars Needs Moms.
Yes, Mars Needs Moms.
It sounds like a skin flick.
Yes, well, it's in 3D.
Which would be even better if it was a skin flick.
Yes.
It looks super creepy.
And it's in Robert Zemeckis style creepy motion capture burn victim, which will make it just that much more painful. It looks really stupid. And it carries a good message that if aliens were to kidnap your mother, you would appreciate her more. And in fact, you'd probably go rescue her.
But you can...
My mother was never kidnapped by aliens.
If she was today, would you appreciate her more?
Well, she'd stop forwarding me lame-ass email jokes.
They might have internet in space. On Mars.
You got a point. Is there internet on Mars? This is a question worth pondering. And then again, we also have...
Red Riding Hood
from the...
Which does not star Snoop Dogg. It's disappointing.
It is disappointing. I would prefer that to Amanda Crustacean Seyfried.
And
Catherine Hardwick. A woman who many years ago was considered to be respectable because she made some sort of edgy film called 13 about... sexually precocious, drug-taking, tattooed, pierced 13-year-olds or something. I never saw it.
Her tattoos were pierced?
Yes. But then she made Lords of Dogtown, which tried to make me give a shit about skateboarders. It did not succeed. Then she made the most tedious film conceivable about the birth of Jesus called The Nativity Story, which, if nothing else, proved why most nativity pageants run about 20 minutes. And then, of course, she made a pile of money by making the first Twink Light movie. This is obviously an attempt to capture the Twink Light crowd with hot Red Riding Hood and werewolf action, I guess.
Anyway, I'm Justin Souther, your
I'm Ken Hagee.
Yes, from the Mountain Express.
Yep, we're from the Mountain Express, and they are the fine folks who allow us to bring this stirring entertainment to you. And it is cohered, patched together, and otherwise sewn up by our good friend and pimp, the amazing Miami Steve Schanefeld.
Never gonna die. Never. I'm gonna start wearing pastels. It's fine.